with What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. This week's economic calendar brings third quarter GDP.
A couple of underlying details to keep an eye on in this report: trade and residential investment could subtract from growth.
Wall Street Journal reporter Sarah Cheney has the details, but first, here are some top stories. Despite a strong economy, the U.S. housing market is in the midst of a seven-month slump. Rising mortgage rates are among the factors that have dragged the sector down this year, leading to a decline in sales of previously owned homes for the past seven straight months. That's the longest slump since 2014, amid recovery from the housing crash. Federal officials say restoration of cell service after Michael was the slowest since Maria, which devastated Puerto Rico last year. About a week after the storm made landfall, nearly half of cell sites in Bay County, Florida, were still out of service. Telecommunications companies say challenges include extensive damage from strong winds and a shortage of trained workers. Staffing firms are having a tough time in a tight labor market. The nation's unemployment rate fell to 3.7% in September, its lowest since 1969. Staffing company Manpower Group says its quarterly revenue in the U.S. fell 4% from a year earlier, and that U.S. employers are struggling to find skilled employees for open jobs. With the holiday season around the corner, toy makers are facing a new retail landscape where more toys are sold online. Hasbro announced last week that it's cutting less than 10% of its workforce. Wall Street Journal reporter Paul Ziobro says in announcing the layoffs, Hasbro pointed to changes in how consumers buy and play with toys.
This is the first holiday season that we're not going to have Toys R Us. So toy manufacturers have got to figure out where they're going to be selling their toys this year, whether more at Walmart or Target or doing a lot more business at Amazon. And certainly that's changing the needs at toy companies, and they're adjusting their workforce as needed.
Earlier this year, Hasbro rival Mattel said it would cut more than 2,200 jobs. Still to come, we'll run down this week's economic calendar. This week's economic calendar brings the Federal Reserve's Beige Book, housing and trade data, and consumer sentiment. Joining us now from Washington to break down the data is Wall Street Journal reporter Sarah Cheney. So the economic calendar really picks up on Wednesday with the Fed's Beige Book. That'll include details from each of the Fed's 12 districts. Wednesday also brings the latest data on new home sales. The Journal's been reporting about tighter inventory and higher prices in the market. Sarah, I actually have a couple of friends who have been looking to buy homes in the tri-state area recently, and a few have been told it's becoming a buyer's market right now. But what do we see bearing out in the data?
I think what we're seeing right now is actually a housing market shift. Home sales are slowing and inventory is rising. And inventory has been a huge issue this housing cycle. Basically, developers aren't building as much as they did in the years leading up to the last recession. And part of this is because it's just not profitable to build lower priced homes because costs for building materials and construction labor are rising. And this means that there's been a shortage of housing inventory, and this has contributed to a run up in prices. Recently, though, inventory has been rising some, and that could actually, in part, reflect cooling buyer demand. You have a lot of buyers who are really frustrated with the market right now, who are seeing interest rates rising such that they fear that they possibly can't even afford a home. The average interest rate on a 30-year fixed rate mortgage in September was 4.63%, and that's up from 4.03% in January. It doesn't just lock first-time buyers out of the market. Current homeowners who, you know, have a lower interest rate right now might be deterred from home buying as well.
Okay, so it sounds like a bit of a shift. Let's move on to some of the data out on Thursday. Let's start with durable goods. That can be a gauge of how well the nation's tax overhaul is working to encourage business investment.
Right. So one thing to watch out for in this report is a category called non-defense capital goods, excluding aircraft. It's quite a mouthful, but
yes.
Basically, it's just a measure of business investment. So essentially, how much companies are spending on computers and machinery and electrical appliances. And the tax overhaul that President Trump signed into law last year was designed to incentivize businesses to step up this sort of investment. And what we've seen is that in August, this measure actually fell, but it's been rising for the past couple of years and in recent months as well. And while the recent rise could be due to the tax law, or at least partially due to it, it's important to recognize that there's actually this connection between rising oil prices and business investment. Essentially, a rebound in oil over the past couple of years has helped propel business spending.
Let's talk a little bit about international trade data. Soybeans have actually become a big part of this report and an important measure of the tariff battle on U.S. exports. What have you been seeing in that data?
Right. So we have seen in the third quarter a widening trade gap, and this reflects a decline in exports and a rise in imports that could pull down growth in the GDP report and would mark a reversal from what we saw in the second quarter when we had a narrowing trade gap that helped lift the U.S. economy. And like you mentioned, a lot of this has to do with soybeans, which sounds very random, but soybean exports actually rose earlier this year as buyers rushed to get their supplies before China's retaliatory tariffs hit. And so soybean exports really significantly helped boost overall exports in the second quarter, but we've seen weaker soybean exports in recent reports. And so basically, we could have trade numbers that drag down third quarter GDP.
So let's talk about GDP, which is out on Friday. The economy has been going strong with the expectation for growth between 3 and 4%. What does that look like in the everyday economy?
So GDP is a very complex measure. It's composed of a lot of different parts. But the main component that counts for two-thirds of gross domestic product is consumer spending. And this looks like what it sounds like. It's essentially people spending money at stores. And in second quarter GDP, consumer spending looked really strong. And we'll see whether that bears out in third quarter GDP data as well. And this will be interesting kind of going into the holiday season here. It's, you know, a somewhat good gauge on consumer confidence.
And speaking of consumers, another report out on Friday is consumer sentiment data, which has been interpreted somewhat differently between Democrats and Republicans.
Right. Consumer sentiment has been fairly strong, especially over the past couple of years. What's really interesting, though, is that how Americans feel about the economy is related to their political party. And we've actually seen a very stark partisan divide in consumer sentiment since the election of President Donald Trump in 2016. And this has persisted. And we see traces of partisanship cropping up in other demographic measures of consumer sentiment as well. For instance, confidence among older Americans who are more likely to be Republican than younger Americans has also risen recently. And another interesting sort of element of this report is the questions that the University of Michigan has been posing recently. They actually asked consumers whether economic conditions would be better if Democrats or Republicans won the coming congressional election, and consumers more frequently cited Republicans, and a large portion said there wouldn't be much difference, though.
All right. Sounds like plenty of data to take a look at this week. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Sarah Cheney joining us from Washington. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Thank you.
And that's What's News. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York for The Wall Street Journal.
Enjoy the What's News podcast? Then try the What's News newsletter. Sign up at wsj.com/newsletters. That's wsj.com/newsletters.